And this morning's reading is from the Psalms, Psalm 23, verses 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Caroline, would you like to come forward? Caroline says she wants to preach from down here, so she's closer to people, so she's very brave. She's either very brave or she thinks you're very kind. Let me pray for you before you speak. Lord God, we thank you for Caroline, and we thank you for the gifts that you have given her, and we thank you for the way that you've been speaking to her as she's been preparing this talk. We pray that you would bless her as she speaks to us through your word. May your spirit be at work in her and in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Well, I'd like to start by giving an illustration from my work. I support people with visual impairment needs, and part of my job involves checking how someone is managing to keep safe and independent when they're outdoors. So depending on their degree of sight loss, I'll ask the person if they can see things like changes in the floor surfaces or steps, street furniture or other such obstacles. One solution I may discuss with the person is learning to use a long cane. Now, I have a little helper here with me this morning. Olivia, would you like to come up? She's not looking so sure about this now. Now, Olivia's going to demonstrate how to use a long cane. Now, she only started to learn to use this last night, so this could be interesting. Right, you put your index finger down the flat part. Well done. Keep it in the centre of your body, but push your arm out, and then you're going to do an arc in front of you. So Olivia's going to walk down the front here, and you can see the cane's got a roller tip, and that's checking the ground for her. It's got that constant contact. And the cane's like an extension of her index finger, so it's feeding back information to her as she goes. And it's checking every area that she's going to step into. It's going to warn her if anything comes up. That wasn't too bad, was it? Well done. Shall we give her a little bit of a... So, if it's a yes from that person, I'll teach them how to use this equipment. But sometimes it's a no. It's like, Caroline, no way do I want to use anything like that. And as we talk further about it, they can often express, I'd much rather have someone to guide me, someone who can support me, someone who can be with me when I feel unsure, someone who can describe things around me, someone who can speak up for me when other people don't understand my needs. Basically, they recognise their need for the presence of another person, someone they can have confidence in and who they can trust. And this is what Psalm 23 is about, confidence and trust. David wrote these words to help us to see God as a caring shepherd and dependable guide. By reading these words, we too can learn that God understands our needs and is present with us all the time. So as we look at these verses together, let's be expectant that God will speak to us and draw us closer to him. Now, I'm going to apologise. First of all, I've got no jokes this morning. I forgot to ask Charles to borrow his joke book. And the other thing is, I haven't done any slides. Now, that's not deliberate as such. It's partly because, do you know what, it takes such a long time to write a sermon. I didn't appreciate how long it takes. And I've been multitasking all the time. You know, I've got to work, I've got to, you know, look after the family. I've been cooking meals and going out to work, shopping, then writing a bit of sermon and then going back and do something else. There really wasn't time to put any slides together, I'll assure you. But what I thought I'd like you to do is invite you to use your imagination this morning. We've all got that, haven't we? And as we walk through these verses together, I want us to almost walk with David. Let's put our sandals on this morning and walk in that dry and hot land. Let's whisk away from this cold and dark November morning, and let's walk with David. So I'm going to read through each verse. If you've got a Bible with you, you can follow with me. And I've got a slightly different version to what we've just heard. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Notice straight away the very personal language that David uses. Not a shepherd or our shepherd, but my shepherd. It's a bold statement, isn't it? He's very sure about what he says. We don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm, but we do know he experienced many highs and lows in his life. He's also remembered and respected for his heart for God. As a young shepherd boy, David would have spent most of his days with the flock. Sheep in those days weren't just left to graze and roam around as we see today. This isn't the Yorkshire Dales with all the dry stone walls and the fences and the hedges and the cattle grids. No, David lives and works in an unenclosed, open landscape, and it's full of risks and hazards and dangers. The sheep depended on him for their very survival. In David's day, sheep were kept for wool, not meat. He would have spent a lot of time with them, getting to know each one individually. In fact, it was common practice for the shepherd to give a name for each sheep, perhaps describing a trait or a characteristic. So, for example, big ears or white nose. So we start to get a picture straight away, don't we, of the daily companionship of the shepherd. David makes a connection between his shepherding and how God cares and provides for him. Verse 2 and 3. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. David knows where to find good drinking places to keep the sheep refreshed. This is mountainous and rocky terrain. Fresh water streams are few and far between and often very fast flowing. Sheep, being timid creatures, they're fearful of the sound of gushing water. They won't drink from that source. David looks for a section of stream where he can make a dam and create a quiet pool for the flock to drink from. See how his actions transform the atmosphere. Peace is restored. Now the sheep can drink still waters, undisturbed and confident. The shepherd remains close by, keeping constant watch over them. Do you see the picture emerging? David relates his everyday experiences caring for the sheep with how God has cared for him. He makes me, he leads me, he restores. To David, God isn't some abstract, distant being, but a personal and intimate presence with him, caring for his every need. Verse 3, he guides me along right paths for his name's sake. Shepherd country is vast and rugged and full of steep valleys. It's a challenge to keep on the right path. There's a high risk of straying off onto the wrong path or wandering into danger. David needs to lead the sheep on the right paths. It's vital for their safety and welfare. The shepherd is trustworthy and dependable. He takes great pride in his knowledge and abilities to lead the flock and keep them safe. I can almost imagine him saying to the other shepherds, hey, look at me, I'm good at this. I know what I'm doing. These sheep are really safe with me. David knows that following God leads to peace and contentment. He knows that God's way is perfect and brings refreshment to the soul. David teaches us to have trust and confidence in God for all our needs. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. David knows he has to lead the flock through dark valleys, perhaps to reach new pastures. In David's day, it was customary to name valleys to reflect a particular hazard or danger. And like the version we've just heard this morning, calls the valley of the shadow of death. We don't know why it's called that. He leaves that to our imaginations, doesn't he? some versions of... Oh, sorry, he refers to his rod and his staff. The rod is a long, large stick with a bud at the top, and it's designed to be thrown into the face of an attacker or a wild animal. His staff is a shepherd's crook, long enough to gently prod and guide the wayward sheep back into the flock, or to hook around the neck of an animal that's perhaps fallen and to bring them back into safety. David knew many dangers. In 1 Samuel 17, we can read the story of David and Goliath. So let's picture the scene. David's just spoken to Saul, and he's offering to fight for Goliath. And Saul replies to him, "You're not able to do that. You're only a boy." David says, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it." He finishes by saying, "The Lord who delivered me from the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Wow, what a guy he is. I really like David. He's got to be one of my favourite characters in the Bible. David doesn't see a giant. He sees the situation from a different perspective, one based on faith and trust in an almighty God who will fight with him. And then we go on to verse 5. "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." At first glance, this verse seems completely out of touch with the shepherd theme. What on earth is David on about? Is all this spending too much time with the sheep on his own gone to his head a bit? But no, he says, no, there's a connection here. What he's referring to is his skill in simply finding a safe and suitable area for grazing. Picture the scene again. Sheep will eat anything. They don't care. They'll just go and just eat whatever's there. And they don't know that there's poisonous vegetation out there. So if left to their own ways, they'll just go and eat it. And then there's snakes and other poisonous creatures ready, hiding in holes and crevices in the ground. David goes and checks the ground for this, because they could bite the unsuspecting grazing sheep. Wild animals like hyenas and jackals and wolves will hide in the caves around in the fields, in the hillsides around. And David goes up and checks these areas. He'll even block up these caves or be ready to fight a wild animal. This is dangerous work. David is prepared to risk his life for the sake of the flock. In the closing scenes of the Shepherd's Day, we're presented with a picture of rest and refreshment. David stands at the entrance of the sheepfold, checking for signs of injury, cuts and grazes. He anoints these with oil or other herbal remedies. He'll even look for signs of exhaustion and weakness, and he'll bathe the head of the animal with oil. It's almost like a shepherd head massage, isn't it? The brimming cup of cool, refreshing water is available, and he carries it to them. It's overflowing, and that'll quench their thirst after the long day in the dry and dusty land. And then the final verse: "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So the day has ended. The sheep are safe in the fold. The shepherd has cared, comforted, protected and guided every step of the way. Notice how David begins the psalm by talking about God and finishes by speaking to him. The relationship deepens as he walks closely with God. And we too can experience the same. Do we recognize and know God's presence, that he's walking with us every step of the way through life? Just like the visually impaired person that I talked about at the beginning, they recognise their need for a guide, for someone with them, someone who they could have confidence in and trust. Do we recognise our need for the shepherd? Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Remember the story of David, how he put his life on the line to rescue the sheep. From the mouth of the lion and the paw of the bear, he fights for the sheep's life and he saves it. This is a picture of what Jesus has done for each of us. By giving his life as a sacrifice on the cross, he's defeated the power of sin, evil, and death. The enemy is overcome. He releases us from the grip of the enemy. He fights for us and saves us. We're safe in his hands for all eternity. Jesus walked on this earth as a human being and experienced every human emotion. He wasn't protected from adversity or trials. He's walked our road. He knows how it feels. He understands what we're going through. He offers us companionship on the journey. Whatever dark valley you're experiencing at the moment, his promises are for you too. He's with you every step of the way. Some of you will know that I've had quite a few ups and downs in my job. I've no doubt that God has called me to the role, but it hasn't always been easy. I've endured many times of stress, trying to cope with an ever-increasing workload and ever-changing structures. Lots of occasions I've cried out to God, "Lord, why is it so hard? I can't do this anymore." On one such occasion, the Lord gave me a verse of scripture. This is from Galatians 6. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." That was it. That was God talking to me right at that very moment, giving me words to keep me going, to keep me trusting in him. I've referred to this verse many times when work has been difficult and challenging, and it's kept me going. He will show me when it's time to move to pastures new, but for now, I'll keep going. His words and presence can transform the atmosphere and change our perspective. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. He calls his sheep by name and leads them out. They follow him because they are familiar with his voice. If we are to follow him, we too need to know the shepherd's voice. Now, has anyone here ever actually seen a shepherd calling for their sheep? One or two heads nodding. I mean, I actually grew up in a farming community, but I've only got experience of actually bringing cows in for milking, so I thought I can't use that as a picture. So what I did, I looked on YouTube and I just searched out shepherds calling for their sheep. And wow, there are loads and loads of clips on YouTube of shepherds calling for their sheep. And they all use different styles. Some of them whistle, some shout. There's one guy even yodeling. I guess he was from Austria or somewhere like that. But picture the scene. It's just an empty field or hillside, and they do what they need to do. And then within seconds, one sheep, two sheep, and then they all come flooding down. And it's a wonderful picture. It's quite entertaining to watch. We too can learn to hear his voice through regular Bible reading and prayer. We can stand on every promise that he gives us, have complete confidence in every word. But how can we do that if we don't know those words? I recently ran the Great North Run for the first time. In fact, it was my first half marathon. Now, I was reasonably confident about it. I'd done a lot of training, but I was slightly anxious about running it on my own. Now, I know I wasn't on my own because there was thousands of people there, but I didn't have a friend or companion with me. And my friend Catherine, who's here, we travelled together, but we weren't going to be in the same starting position because Catherine's a lot faster than me, and I wouldn't have kept up with her anyway. So we decided that we'd go our separate ways once we got to the start line. And I was a bit nervous about that, I have to say. Then on the morning of the event, I read one of my devotionals, and this was the verse of the day. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Wow, it was wonderful. God gave me that word to encourage me and bring peace to me. So throughout the day, I actually kept reminding myself of this verse, and I kept repeating it in my mind. And then when I was doing the race, it was actually like Jesus was there, right in front of me, just one step ahead, and he was like going, come on, you can do it, you can do it. Every step of the way, he just seemed to be there. And he was like really enjoying the moment with me. That will stay with me forever, and I'll never forget that verse. And in fact, I use that verse now. It comes to me a lot. It's become within me. It's part of me. And that's what he does. He speaks to us through all our daily experiences. We just need to train ourselves, don't we, to hear his voice and recognise his presence. That's what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. Jesus said in Matthew 28, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus is with us today through his Spirit. And always means always. Not when I have a minute or you'll need to book an appointment. No, he's available to us every moment of every day. We can speak to him anytime, in any situation and in any way. I'd like to finish by reminding us of that final verse in the psalm. And this is what David says. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's another bold statement, isn't it? He's resolved. David's stating his goal with desire and determination. I will. There's no going around the houses, is there? There's no flowery language. There's not, I might, maybe. No, it's I will. And we can do the same. The choice is ours. With the same desire, let us follow the Good Shepherd, learn his ways, listen to his voice, enjoy his care, know his protection, seek his guidance, and then may we say with the same confidence as David, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Amen.